Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a specific kind of silence that precedes a storm, a heavy, expectant stillness where the air feels thick and every heartbeat seems audible. And that was what was happening on that night in Egypt. About 3,000 plus years ago, that silence was absolute. But it wasn't the silence of peace, it was the silence of a world actually holding their breath before the judgment of Almighty God. For months now, Egypt had been ravished. The Nile had turned to blood. Frogs, gnats, and flies had swarmed the land. Livestock had perished. There was a darkness so thick that it could be felt that it actually had extinguished the Egyptian sun. Yet Pharaoh's heart remained like granite, hard as a rock. Pharaoh wouldn't yield. He wouldn't let the people of Israel go. So the Lord God spoke to Moses and spoke to Aaron with the finality that signaled the end of an era. He wrote, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. On the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb." Today we look at the institution of the Passover. This is more than a historical account of a political liberation. For us, it answers that ongoing question that we've been answering in this last year. Where is Christ in the Old Testament? Where do we find Christ specifically in this text? Well, it's a profound type. It's a shadow. It's a building block. It is the gospel itself. In the blood of the Egyptian lambs, we see a shadow, a building block of the cross. In the midnight cry of Egypt, we see the weight of our own sin. And in the safety of the Israelite homes, we see the absolute certainty of our own salvation in Jesus Christ. The Lord just didn't magically whisk away the Israelites in the middle of the night by some magic trick. He required a sacrifice. Specifically, He required a lamb without blemish, a year old. Why a lamb? Why blood? Well, to modern ears, it sounds rather primitive, doesn't it? But the law of God is unwavering. The wages of sin is death, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And judgment was coming to Egypt. But we need to be careful sitting here and falling into the trap thinking that somehow the Israelites were better than the Egyptians. By their own merits, the Israelites were also sinners. They were often idolaters in their hearts. They were grumblers. They were people of unclean lips. So what we need to see that the difference of that night wasn't the righteousness of the people inside the house. It was the presence of the blood on the outside of the door. God instructed them to take that blood and strike it on the two doorposts and on the lintel. Think of that image for a moment. Just as Cesare already said, a horizontal stroke across the top, two vertical strokes on the side. Centuries before the Roman cross was even conceived, the people of God were marking their homes in the shape of a whisper, if you will, and a shadow, if you will, of a future execution of Jesus on a hill called Golgotha. The instruction was specific for the Israelite people. The lamb was to be eaten in haste, sandals on their feet, staves in their hands, they were to be ready to move. And this is the posture of our Christian life, is it not? We're people of holy haste, if you will, recognizing that this world isn't our home. We feast on the Word of God, nourished by the sacrifice of the Lamb, ready at any moment for the Lord to call us out of this Egypt of sin, this Egypt of death, into the promised land of eternity. At midnight, the silence was shattered. Exodus tells us that there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where someone was not dead. from the palace of Pharaoh to the dungeon of the captives, the judgment of God fell. It was the 10th plague. In ancient culture, please know that the firstborn represented the future, the strength, the inheritance of the family. And by God striking down that firstborn, he was showing them that without him, there is no future. Without his mercy, the lineage of humanity ends in the grave. We often prefer to talk about God's love, and rightly so, don't get me wrong, but we can't truly understand his love until we understand his wrath, his judgment. And know that God's wrath, his judgment, it's not some kind of a temper tantrum. It's holy, it's just, and it's settled on the opposition to everything that destroys his creation. It is his no to sin, oppression, rebellion. And on that night, the angel of death passed through the land. He didn't look at the social status of the residents. Catch that. He didn't ask about their moral resume. He looked for one thing. He looked for the blood. It says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And when you hear that, please let your mind go to the heart of justification by grace through faith. When the judgment of God looks at you and looks at me, he sees our sin. He sees our failures. He sees our pride. He sees our secret shames. If he were just to judge us on our own, the angel of death would have every right to stop at our house. But for those who are in the house, those who are covered by the blood of the Lamb, God sees the sacrifice instead of the sinner. He sees the payment instead of the debt. He passes over the sin, not because they don't matter, but because they've already been paid for by the life of another. So as we move then from the Old Testament to the New, this is where that shadow gives way to the reality. Okay, John the Baptist, he stood by the Jordan River. He pointed at a man walking toward him and said, or shall I say, he didn't say, "There he is, the great teacher." He didn't say, "Behold, the moral example for us to follow." He said this, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John chapter 1, verse 29. Jesus Christ is our Passover. He was without blemish. He was tempted in every way you and I are, yet without sin. He was the only unblemished human to ever walk on earth. He was slain for us as well. Just as the Israelites had to kill that lamb, our sins are negated by the death of the Son of God. And the blood was applied. The blood of the Lamb of the Israelites was applied to the doorposts of their homes. It didn't do any good sitting in the bowl on the floor. In the same way, the work of Jesus Christ is applied to us. And how is that applied to us, his blood these days? Through the means of grace, through his word, and through his sacraments. Think about it. In holy baptism, dear friends, you are marked with the sign of the cross. You are covered in the blood of the Lamb. In the Holy Supper, in the Lord's Supper, you do exactly what the Israelites did. We feast on the sacrifice. We receive that very body and that very blood of Jesus given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. And when Jesus then sat in that upper room on that Passover, some 1,300 years after the original Passover event, he was celebrating that same Passover. He took the bread, he took the wine, he took the elements of the Exodus meal, and he redefined them. He was saying, the old Exodus from Egypt was just the beginning. Jesus was saying, I am leading a new Exodus, a departure from the slavery of the devil and the kingdom of death. And a piece of the text that's outside of our reading, please know this, the Egyptians gave the Israelites everything. It says they gave them their silver, their gold, and their clothing. The Israelites plundered the Egyptians. So think about it. After centuries of slavery, they left not as refugees. How did they leave? They left as a victorious army, laden with the riches of Egypt. And this is the promise of the gospel, dear friends. When Christ defeated death on the cross, he plundered the kingdom of darkness. He took back what the devil had stolen. And you know what that is? He took us back. Because of the blood of the Lamb, you're no longer a slave. You're no longer a slave to your past. You're no longer a slave to your addictions. You're no longer a slave to anxiety. No longer a slave to the fear of the grave. Feeling overwhelmed by fear and anxiety, something many of us experience at different parts of our lives. Whether it's the stress of daily responsibilities, the uncertainty of the future, personal challenges that come in and out of our lives, it's easy to get to feel weighed down, is it not? And sometimes in our humanity, we think that we just keep failing when we try to follow His commands, but we fail. You know, live the victorious life, but things keep falling apart. Put off fear and anxiety, but yet we still live in, with, and through it, do we not? How could He call me friend? But remember, dear friends, God isn't looking for opportunities to accuse us. That's the work of the accuser. I went to Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, and here's what it says. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. The accuser is defeated by the blood. And praise God, we are victorious by that blood. Jesus does call us friends, dear friends. He says, you no longer are called slaves because of what the Master has done. Jesus shared everything that He heard from His Father with His disciples. He shared it with us. He's going to be coming back, and He's coming back again soon. You are part of God's family. And reflecting on the blood of Jesus can bring assurance. It can bring comfort to those seeking forgiveness and salvation. For those seeking peace and comfort. Those seeking to belong and seeking family. So take a moment this day, will you not, to thank God that you are covered by the blood of Jesus. That you have been hastened away, if you will, from the dominion of darkness. That you don't go empty-handed. Right, we leave with the valuables of God like the Israelites did so long ago, plundering Egypt. We now have the valuables of God as we journey in the wilderness of our life. And what are those valuables? How about the fruits of the Spirit? How about the promise of the resurrection? How about the gift of eternal life? Maybe as you sit here this morning, it feels like the midnight of this world is closing in. Perhaps you feel that weight of your failure, the fear of a judgment you know you deserve. Look to the doorpost of your heart, will you not? If you are in Christ, that door is marked. The wrath of God has no claim on you. The power of death has been broken. The Lamb who was slain is now the Lion who reigns. He stands as your advocate. He stands as your shield. Today, we don't fear that silence. We don't fear that cry of the night. For the blood of the Lamb has spoken a much better word than the blood of Abel. It speaks of peace, it speaks of pardon, and it speaks of a home where death shall be no more. Let me say, go in the confidence of the Exodus, dear friends. You are free. You are forgiven. And remember and recall often, the Lamb who was slain is now the Lion who reigns. You are His. Amen.